Morning. Today's daf Yavamas, daf Nun Ches. We are back on Nun Vav Amud Beis. We're going to start today from the Mishnah. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lema Zecher Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Take a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah is unconnected to the Masechta. We'll speak a little bit about Yibum, but that's later, and I doubt we're going to get to the discussion of Yibum. Hopefully we will, but that really comes up in what should be today's Daf and Daf and Ches. But we're going to be talking today about Zchus Achilas Truma. We know that once a woman marries a Kohen, if she's not a Bas Kohen, she wasn't eating Truma beforehand, so we know that her marriage to the Kohen enables her to eat Truma. As we've discussed already a couple of times, but just to be clear, at the first stage of marriage of Kiddushin, so really min haTorah, she now has the ability to eat Truma. The Torah describes that when a Kohen has Kinyan Kaspo, when he makes an acquisition, and the way that you marry a woman is that the first thing you do is make a Kinyan, so then that means that she now has the ability to eat Truma. However, because the marriage is a two-part process, and because at the first stage of marriage of Eris, at the first stage of marriage of Erisin, she's still living with her family, so if she starts eating Truma because she's now currently married to a Kohen, but the problem, of course, is that she's living with her family, and she'll be eating the Truma, and then she'll be handing the Truma over to her family, sharing with her family. The Chachamim were worried about that. A non-Kohen eating Truma is a chi of Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's a very serious offense. So therefore, the Chachamim said that during her Kedushin stage, she does not eat Truma, and the Truma will only be eaten by her at the stage of Nisuin. Okay, that's the general outline. What if she's a Bas Kohen? If she's a Bas Kohen, she's entitled to eat Truma, period. Her marriage to Yisroel will disqualify her from her ability to eat Truma, but upon death or divorce of her husband, she can return, she can go back to eating Truma again. Okay, that's the general outline of a woman and her ability to eat Truma. Okay, we also know that a woman who has a bias psul, who has an act of relations with somebody who the Torah says that she's not allowed to have, so that makes her, that transforms into what's called a chalala. Chalala, we're going to see a lot of that term today. The chalala, the word chalala actually means emptied out, emptiness, right? It's where another one of those examples where the English and the Hebrew word are really the same. The word chalal basically is hollow. Okay, and when a woman has a bia psula, when she has an act of relations that's prohibited, so she now becomes devoid of her kedushas kohen, and therefore she no longer is able to eat truma, mina Torah. Okay, and not only does the halal status affect her, but it affects her child as well, meaning if she becomes a halala, so that means her children are going to become halalim as well. What is the status of a bas halal? Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that also later on today. All that stated, let's see the Mishnah now inside. We are starting with the Mishnah. Amana Kohen Gadol Grusha Chalutza Kohen Ejo. So we have an Amana marrying a Kohen Gadol. We're having a Grusha or a Chalutza married to a Kohen Ejo. Okay, so in other words, this is a marriage that is not sanctioned by the Torah. Let's say it even better and stronger. It's prohibited by the Torah. And Mina Erisin Lo Yochla B'Truma. If at that the stage of Erisin, she's now at this point in time unable to eat Truma. Rashi explains over here. We're talking about a case where she herself is a Bas Kohen. So she's a Bas Kohen. Now maybe, I was going to say, Phil, I saw the confusion, but then once I said the Rashi, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, Rashi thought this through. Right? She's a Bas Kohen, and now she's married to a Kohen. What's the problem? The problem is very simple. Problem is that she's a divorcee. She's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So that now means that when they have Bia, she will become a Chalala. So the Shita of the Tanakhama of Meir is as follows. Already from Erisin, from Kiddushin, it's very simple to forecast that she's going to have a Bia Psula. Meaning, generally speaking, we don't assume people are going to have a Bia Psula. Why would we think that? Here, there is good concern, there's good reason to think that. Because she just accepted Kiddushin from a Kohen, and she's a Grusha. So let's assume, for simplicity's sake, that the Kiddushin she accepted was Kasef. Okay, but still, that now means that she is really close to having a Bia Psula. She's married to a man who she's about to go through Nisun with, shortly enough. Back then it was a year's time, but doesn't matter. In other words, she's going to have a Bia Psula. So therefore, based on that prognostication, and that easy forecasting, that she's going to have a Bia Psula, so Rameir says, from the point of Kedushin, she no longer can eat truma. She's disqualified from eating truma. The Gemara's terminology, we're going to see this terminology a lot over the course of today, is she is what's called mishtameres l'bia psula. She is awaiting a bia psula. And the evidence is pretty strong. She accepted kedushin from this man. So most probably she's going to engage in bia psula, and so therefore we're forecasting that she's going to be a chalala. So basically at the point of kedushin, we already treat her like a chalala. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The marriage, right. The marriage works, right. And that's, you understand, that's not, right. That's not even up for discussion. What's up for discussion is her ability to eat truma. Rav Meir is a chiddush. Rav Meir says that she's going to lose her ability to eat truma even though she hasn't actually engaged in the bia psula.
So,
it's not a question of what he's doing. What happens to Kohen? He violated law in the Torah. Yes, correct. But in other words, fine. But I understand that. But equity is, right? You know, you're basing equity on one halacha, right. Meaning the bottom line is he violated an issur in the Torah. So, okay. In other words, if given proper warning by witnesses, he's going to get malchus. Okay. I understand. In terms of truma, it's inequitable. Fine. I hear you. I understand that. But in terms of, you know, the... I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu
said
kept.
Yeah,
but that right, but
complete the marriage.
Correct. You could certainly say that. But okay, so lo yochla b'tshuma. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, post psul. I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshirin, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon says she's kosher, meaning from the point of erusin till the point of actual nisuin to where she actually has to be a psula. So even though it's pretty easy to forecast that she's going to have a bia psula, but right now, just because she accepted kedushin, does not change her status of being a bas kohen. She was able to eat truma, and she'll continue to eat truma until the actual bia psula. Okay, nis armla nisgar shum and nisuim psulas min erusin ksheiros. Now, what if this marriage terminates? So if it terminates after nisuin, so then that means that they got married, second stage of marriage, they had a bia psula. And from that point going forward, she now is a halala. She now becomes hollowed out of her kedushas kahuna, and she no longer can truma. But if the marriage terminates from erusin and onward, and as Rashi explains over here, even according to Rabbi Meir, where Rabbi Meir said that she could not eat truma from the point of kedushin, but let's say after kedushin, but before nisuin, either the husband died or he divorces her, so now she can go back and she can resume eating truma again. And of course, it makes sense. The only reason why Rav Meir prohibited her from eating truma is because she's mishtameres l'bia psula, because she's looking forward to it, by the way. I'm not saying it's obviously not a good thing, but she's looking forward to bia psula. But once the marriage terminates, so she's no longer looking forward to the bia psula, and so therefore she can resume and return to eating her truma. You could have argued, by the way, just to give the other side, meaning once she has the status of mishtameres l'bia psula, you could say that the rabbis gave her a kanas, they gave her a fine, and she's forever forbidden from eating truma. You could have made that argument, and I guess the mission in the year is to dispel such a chiddush. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Amar Meir Kavachomer. So here the Gemara quotes a braisa, and Rameir is going to offer an argument to his position. And the argument is, Kavachomer, ma kedusha rishus, mechlin kedusha aver lo kol shekein. If kedusha rishus, he does not have the ability to give her truma, so kedusha Kedusha Aveira. In other words, I'll say the Kavachomer simple, and then I'll complicate it. But if a neutral Kedushin doesn't allow and enable her to eat Truma, a negative Kedushin for sure does not allow her to eat Truma. Okay, good. That's the Kavachomer said in the most simple way.
In this case, this Kavachomer is talking about a regular Bas Yisrael, not a Bas
Yisrael. So what is the... Oh, okay, good. Now fill in the blank. What's the neutral kedushin that the Braisa is talking about? So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi here speaks at length. Rashi offers two pshatim. I'm going to just say over Rashi's second pshat. It's the one that he prefers, although it is really difficult, and Phil already figured out why it's so difficult. Rashi's second pshat, he says, you know what the neutral marriage is? When he saw marries a Bas Yisrael, a man who is not a Kohen, marries a woman who is not a Kohen. So he cannot enable her to eat truma. So if it's an Avera, i.e., a Kohen marrying a Grusha, he for sure cannot enable her to eat Truma. Now one has to wonder, that's what I just did, I said over the Gemara like Rashi. Again, Rashi's second shot, the one that he prefers. You got to wonder, meaning it's a strange Kavachomer, meaning how can you compare a Yisrael marrying a woman, right, to a Kohen marrying a Bas Kohen. A Kohen has the ability to give her truma. A Yisrael has he doesn't have the right to eat truma himself, and he certainly does not have the right to enable anyone else to eat truma. So how can we? How does the Kal V'Chomer work? Now I don't have the greatest answer to that question. In fact, now look at the back and forth in the Braisa. Back to the Braisa. Amru lo, they say to him, lo. That's exactly what the Chachamim say, contesting the Kal V'Chomer. How can you compare Yisrael to a Kohen? A Yisrael never has the ability to enable anyone to eat Truma. A Kohen, had he not married a Grusha, had he married anyone else, not anybody, but had he married a woman who is Ru'uya, who is Kshera, he would be able to enable her to eat Truma. So you're making a Kal V'Chomer comparing a Yisrael to a Kohen? How can you do that? Okay, and that's where the Braisa leaves us off, and it seems to be such a strong question against the Kal V'Chomer of Rabbi Meir.
But what if it's just a Kohen to a Bas Yisrael? At the Kedushin stage,
right.
She cannot eat Truma.
Yeah, right. In other words, right, could be... You're right. In other words, Midra Rabbani, she can't eat Truma. But again, under normal circumstances, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Our discussion is where even though they only went through Kedushin, and even though they didn't have a Bia Psula, she was already entitled to eat Truma, i.e. she's a Bas Kohen, and now the Kedushin is going to disqualify her. When does Kedushin disqualify someone from... Not enable. Disqualify somebody from eating Truma? The answer is... When we know that the Kedushin is going to lead to Nisuin, and Nisuin is Bia Psula, like this case over here. Now, Amar of Elazar, Amar of Eoshia. Okay, good. So we have now a machlokus between Tanaim, between the Tanakama, who we're going to identify, we already did identify him as Rabbi Meir, against Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar. In a scenario where she was a Bas Kohen, she's married to a Kohen, the problem is that she's a Grusha, or she's an Amon Kohen Gadol, so because the Kedushin is going to lead to a Bia, and because the Bia is a Bia Psula, so our mayor says at the point of Kedushin, she already is disqualified from eating her Truma. What the Gemara now is going to try to do is see if we can apply this to other scenarios in Halacha. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Tzuadaka, Kohen Shekidish Bas Yisrael. Another scenario, or let's say the Kohen now is the Tzuadaka. The Pasuk says in Parshat Kiseitzei, Lo Yavo Tzuadaka Krushacha B'Kal Hashem. If a man is mutilated in his private area, either part of his private area, either the Beitzim or the actual Ged, so he is not allowed to marry Kal Hashem, anyone who has a status of Kahal, which is going to be a big part of today's daf. But here we're talking about now where the Kohen is a Ptsuadaka. So it's a Kohen who's a Ptsuadaka. Now he himself can eat Truma. Okay. However, here's the problem that he's going to face in life. Okay, now let's just deal with Psuadaka, which just affords the ability for him, at least anatomically, to have relations with a woman. So the problem that this coin has in life is that any woman he's going to marry, not any woman, most women he's going to marry are prohibited to him. So that means, and it's an Isser Lav in the Torah, for him to be with most women. I say most because... You'll see later on. There may be women who are eligible to marry him. But for most women, it would be a law in the Torah. And that means then that every time this Psul Daka Kohen marries a woman and has relations with her, so what is that? That's a B.S. Psul. That's a disqualifying Bia, which will render her a Chalala, which will disable her ability to eat Truma. So now, what would be the case when this Psul Daka Kohen is Mekadesh Abbas Yisrael? Again, not Bia. We're going to the stage of Kedushin. Does he disqualify her ability to eat Truma at the point of Kedushin? Now, she's a Bas Yisrael, so then again, only begs the question. She never was able to eat Truma. And Rashi points out over here, one could just simply suggest that that we know the halacha is that after Kedushin, at the point of Kedushin, she really should and can eat Truma. And truth be told is that a year later, they're supposed to get married. If, let's say, he wakes up on the morning of the Nisuin and he's quote-unquote sick. He calls him sick. He says, look, I'm really sorry, I'm not feeling well. Right? Maybe he, and it could even be that he is sick. Or he's got cold feet, whatever the case is. because they were supposed to get married on that day, so now at that point in time, he is in fact, she's entitled to Yitzchum at that point going forward. All right, so in other words, it's possible. It's possible for the Bas Yisrael to be eating Shuma, even though he didn't go through the point of Nisuin. But what the Gemara now is projecting is that, in this scenario, you know what it is? It's the same Achlokas that we saw back in the Mishnah. Meaning, because again, he's a Ptsua Daka, which means that the relations that he has with her is going to disqualify her. So at the point of Kedushim, we can already forecast, at least according to a mayor, that Mishnah Meres will be a Ptsula. And according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, they're going to take the position that no, not until the Bia Psula is she going to be disqualified from the Chuma. So the Gemara thinks now that this case is exactly the same as the case of our Mishnah. Banu l'machlokas Rav Meir v'Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon. L'Rav Meir d'Arma Mishnah Meres l'Bia Psula d'Raisa lo achla ha'namit lo achla. So seemingly Rav Meir would take the position over here that at the point of Kedushin she can no longer eat Chuma. And l'Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon d'Arma Mishnah Meres l'Bia Psula d'Raisa achla ha'namit achla. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, just like in the Mishnah, they allowed her to eat Shuma until the actual Bia, same here. And the Gemara says, Mimai.
Excuse me, what is it talking about Basko?
Hmm? Yeah, understood. Understood. But you're right. Agreed. What I said, by the way, about the actual day of Nisuin, Rashi says that. But you're right. In other words, the same halacha would be true for Basko. Okay. So, Mimai. The Gemara says, I don't think the case of our Mishnah is comparable to the case of Ptsua Daka Kohen. Why? Because Dilma had come lokami, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Asam, Allah, Diesh, Lalacha, Bamakam Acha. Avahacha, Dein, Lalacha, Bamakam Acha, Lo. So, the Gemara says it's a very simple distinction. In our Mishnah's case, what happened? A Kohen, he's regular, he's fit, he can marry almost anyone he wants, except for the Grusha. So he decides to marry a Grusha, so he's Mekadosh to the Grusha, but at least in that case, he could marry somebody else. He could enable somebody else to eat Truma. Here, this Kohen is a Ptsua Daka. He can't marry anyone. So the two cases aren't comparable. And Avahacha Dein Lo Lacha B'Malka Merchalo. V'chite Emacha Nami Yesh Lo Lacha B'Bas Gerim. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean he can't marry anybody? He can marry Bas Gerim, the daughter of a convert. Right now, let's not even discuss it at all. because I know it's coming up in the Gemara. Let's just simply say, but he can marry the daughter of a convert. So there is some eligibility of who can marry. The Gemara says that's not true. V'hami bai bai l'Rav Yochan m'Rav Yoshia. This is what one of Rav Yochan's big questions to Rav Yoshia. Can a Kohen marry? Sorry, let's say, can a Kohen marry a Bas Gerim? And Rav Oshia didn't give him an answer. Okay. So the truth of the matter is we don't know. Anyway, but the Gemara says, but still there's a basic distinction between the Ptsua Daka Kohen versus our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, this Kohen can marry almost anyone he wants, except of course for the Grusha. The case of Ptsua Daka Kohen, ostensibly he can't marry anybody. So the cases are not the same. Itmar, the Gemara says, I could still make an argument. Make an argument that Ptsua Daka Kohen, according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, if he marries a woman, again, Kiddushin, they go through Kiddushin, they would still argue that she would be allowed to eat Shuma until the point of actual Bia Ptsula. Now again, what about the point the Gemara just made? Well, who's he going to marry? So the Gemara gives one of two possibilities. Itmar Baya Marho Ma'achila Belo Yada'a. So Abaye says, well, it's possible for the Ptsua Daka Kohen to be married to a woman. How so? So as Rashi explains over here, Abaye is dealing with the following scenario. Let's say he was not a Ptsua Daka. Let's say he was a Kohen with no deformity. And it's not a deformity. It's an injury. And he marries a woman. Marriage is obviously 100% bona fide. And then, unfortunately, terrible accident. And then after the marriage, post-marriage, he becomes a Ptsua Daka. Now, I know yesterday we were talking about tragedies. Here comes another tragedy. So now he's a Ptsua Daka, so he can't remain married to her. And if he has relations with her post-Ptsua Daka, she becomes a Chalala. So what does he have to do? He has to divorce her. But still, Baye's argument is that after the marriage, he becomes the Ptsua Daka. As long as they don't have Bia, she is married to a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. Okay. So Abaye says it is possible, it's within the realm of possibility, that this woman can eat Truma even though being married to Ptsua Daka. Okay. Again, that's not... You're right, but that's not the...
About the Bia, but the status is really in question. There.
It's not a question. In other words, they're married. The status of the marriage is not in question. Yes, the marriage needs to be terminated. Agreed. Okay. I mean, you know... It's not an unreasonable question, but... Right. That marriage, in other words, there will be other women he can marry, which the Gemara later on will discuss, but in other words, not this woman. Okay. Correct. It's not for the same reason, but yes. Rav Amar Ho Umachil Ba'avadav V'Shiv Chosava Kananim. And Rav says, also, what was your issue? Who is he going to feed Truma to? Rav says, I'll tell you. He's a Ptsua Daka. He can't marry most women. You're right. But still, he can buy an Evik Kanani. He can buy Shivcha Kananis. He could feed them Truma. So he has the ability to feed others Truma. Now the Gemara points out over here, we're just going to digress for just a moment. Abaye and Rava give two different answers about how it would be possible for our Kohen Ptsua Daka to feed others Truma.
Can he himself eat Truma?
So yeah, sure. So sure.
How about Evet Kanani?
That's exactly the point. Yeah, sure. Okay. That's exactly Rava's point. Now Abaye Lama Karava. Now one Abaye liked Rava's answer, meaning Rava's saying good, right? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. King and Deishas, Mekin and Deishas, Yafin of Allah, Yafin and King Deishas, Mekin and the Avadim. Okay, so the Gemara says, no, Abaye does not like Rava's suggestion because we're comparing a Kinyan of an Eved Kanani, which is an actual purchase, meaning that is a proprietary purchase, and we're comparing it to Kinyan Ishus. Now, the word we use for Ishus is Kinyan, and the method is Kinyan, but you don't buy a wife. Yeah. You marry a wife; it's different. So that's why Abaye doesn't like Rava's comparison. And why didn't Rava buy into Abaye's answer? Well, that's also very simple, because according to Abaye, we're talking about when they got married. He was okay. The marriage was fully sanctioned. Her ability to eat truma was perfectly legitimate. And now it becomes a Ptsua Daka, okay, but the marriage started off as a perfectly legitimate marriage. And Abaye says, okay, I know historically she ate Truma, but that in of itself is not an argument, right? The Gemara said, I know this sounds familiar, it should. We just saw this. The Ilo Tema Achi, Bas Yisrael, Shenisa Zekon, Umis Techo Shekvar Achla. What do you mean? Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, and he dies. Well, you know, I was eating Truma before. I'm allowed to eat Truma now. Of course not. So the Gemara says, V'Rava. Now Rava's counter-argument to that is, the Hasan Paka Kinyanei, Achalo Paka Kinyanei. So Rava will say, okay, yeah, but there's an obvious difference. When her husband died, so that's it. The argument of, well, I once ate Truma is obviously a nonsensical argument because her husband's no longer alive. Here, husband didn't die. He had a terrible accident. He's a Ptsua Daka. But her husband's not dead, and they're still married. And so her ability to eat Truma is predicated on the fact that not that she was married, she is married. She's still married. Okay. So, again, Abaye and Rav are just giving explanations of how a Ptsua Daka has the ability to feed others Truma, either because they can buy an Evet Kanani and feed them Truma, or because we could talk about a scenario in which when the marriage took place, he was not a Ptsua Daka, and then subsequently became a Ptsua Daka.
We could also answer, Rava feels better that he starts as a Ptsua Daka. He starts by the other case.
Yeah, right, correct.
Okay, and then he became...
Agreed. All right, so again, so the big question of the Gemara was, is the case of Ptsua Daka Kohen married to a woman, is that the same as our Mishnah? Or is that different than our Mishnah? Okay, the Gemara leaves that point off as unclear. Gufa. But now we did raise the question, and this was one of those big questions that Rav Yochanan asked Rav Oshi, and Rav Oshi did not know the answer to. And here we go. The next half an Amud of Gemara. It's not unbelievably complicated. There's just a lot to keep straight. There are going to be three opinions amongst the Tanaim, and the Gemara is going to be juggling a lot of issues at the same time. So I'll go through it too quickly, I should say, but the question is a really important question. For us, it's not going to have a lot of ramifications, but you'll see it touches on some very fundamental issues. Gufo, the Baimini Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yoshi. Let's go back. Rabbi Yochanan asked the following question from Rabbi Yoshi, Ptsuadaka Kohen. The man is a Kohen, but he's also Ptsuadaka. Shenise Basgerim Mahu. Can he marry a Basgerim? And, I'm sorry, Shenise Basgerim. Sorry. They did get married. Maushe Achilen Betruma. Can he feed her Truma? Okay, so this question has got a lot of variables in the question. And so, I mean, really, the question is built on another question. First of all, is the marriage sanctioned? Okay, right. Can this Kohen, Psuadaka, be married to a Basgerim? I mean, that's already one question. And then once we're asking the question, is it sanctioned or is it not sanctioned, can she at this point in time now eat Truma? Okay. Ishtik v'lo amalei v'lo midi. So what was Rav Oshia's response? Silence. And then, you know how these things work. You go to a Rav, you ask him a question, he doesn't give you an answer, and then someone who's right behind you in line asks the Rav another question, and the Rav's like, oh, okay, fine. And Milsa, and so Rav Oshia said, oh, I know the answer to that question. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, who is that second person in line? None other than Reish Lakish. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Nesila Rabbi Oshia. Atu Rabbi Yochanan Lagavar Abahu. So the Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, who is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia says, and by the way, just, I mean, we knew this, but Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are early Amoraim, right? They're engaging in conversation with the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So he says, I don't stand. Rabbi Yochanan say, an Adam Gadol. You didn't answer his question, but you answered Reish Lakish's question. So Amalei, I mean, we all knew where this was going to go. Amalei, they come by me name. So Rav Oshia says, oh, I'm not. Don't judge on the one who's asking the question. Judge me. Meaning, is it Reish Lakish? I knew the answer to his question. Rav Yochanan, I didn't know the answer to his question. So it's not a function of Rav Yochanan. It's a function of me. I just didn't know the answer. Okay. And now, Rashi points out that when we start with the word Laman, that is, this is no longer dialogue. This is no longer part of the Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Reish Lakish, meaning story's over. Okay, Rav Oshia did not know the answer, period. And now what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to discuss. What is the answer to the question, right? Question on the table is, can our Ptsuadaka Kohen, who is married to the daughter of a convert, can he give her Truma? Can he feed her Truma? Now, Laman. So the Gemara says, who are we asking within? So let me just give a quick introduction to the Gemara coming up. Can a Bas Ger marry a Kohen? So first of all, let's say what we already know. A convert cannot marry a Kohen. Okay? Somebody converts to Yiddishkeit, so they can't marry a Kohen. The simplest way to say it, it's not the nicest way to say it, but it's the simplest and probably the most correct way to say it, is that she's his owner. Okay? Maybe one can argue that unless she converts at an extraordinarily early age. But, okay, just to say it simply, it's an assumption that for all intents and purposes, for most intents and purposes, she has a status of a zone.
But the Masala Nida, we said that all non-Jewish markets are in Nida because of...
Right. Correct. Gzera Durabanan. Okay, but anyway, a Gioris cannot marry a Kohen. Okay, wonderful. We know that. The question on the table right now is Bas Gerim. Can a Bas Ger marry a Kohen? So we have on this issue three shitos. We'll go from, I was going to say Machmer Mekel, I don't know. It can go either way. But let me just lay it out, and then we'll see it inside the Gemara. The three shitos are Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's position is the easiest position, which is, the answer is unequivocally yes. Rabbi Yossi's position is so far yes that that even if both parents are converts, the child is eligible to marry a Kohen. Okay, that's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long one of the parents have to be a Yisroa, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the mother has to be a Yisraelis. Okay, so three shitas amongst the Tanaim, whether or not a bas ger, the daughter of a convert, can marry a Kohen. Okay. Then there's another issue. If you have a convert does not fall under the category of Kahal. Okay? A convert is a Jew. Very often, I would say this is a very popular misconception. Meaning, I'll give you a simple example. A Moabite. Moabite converts. Right? Remember the whole discussion. Was Boaz allowed to marry her? Was he not allowed to marry her? I understand. She converted, right? Correct. The answer is correct. When you have a convert who converts to Yiddishkeit, they're a Jew. However, they may not have the status of what's called Kahal. What does that mean? All it means simply is that there's a pool of people that they're not allowed to marry. Or there's a pool of people that they may be allowed to marry who are, quote-unquote, have less status. In other words, lo yavo p'tzuadaku krushavcha b'kahal Hashem. A p'tzuadaku krushavcha is not allowed to marry someone who's within the realm of kahal. Can be or could be, no, not could be, it is. A convert herself, the Yeres herself, is, again, a full Jew, just doesn't have the status of kahal. Which would then mean that a p'tzuadaku would be allowed to marry a Yeres. Okay. Another question on the table that we're going to be juggling is the daughter of a convert. Does she get this full status of kahal? Okay, that's another question on the table. And then finally, last and certainly not least, is that now when I take our kohen tzedaka and I put him together with a bas ger, so can he feed her then truma? Okay, so I mean, you're talking about. A question, and now we're going to begin to understand why Rav Oshia didn't know the answer to this question. This question is built on a lot of variables, a lot of moving pieces.
You're going to have a bottle
in for all this? Yes, I will. Yes.
Haven't we all been eight Gerim? I mean,
Yes.
I don't get it.
Right. Yes, the answer to that is yes. But again, the B'nai Gerim status that we all have is predicated on the fact that, what's the alternative? Yeah. Meaning when we become the Jewish people, at that point in time, we're all given the status of Gerim, but we're all, at that point, considered Kahal. Somebody who comes on a later point in time doesn't have the Kahal status. Again, it doesn't affect their Yiddishkeit. They're full Jews, fully responsible for all mitzvahs and averus in the Torah. It just happens to be that for marriage purposes, there's a status called the kahal. When we get to the fourth parak of kedushin, let me say it positively. When we get together the fourth parak of kedushin, so we're gonna see this inside in terms of understanding. I don't know about understanding, but seeing much more of this discussion of kahal versus non kahal. Fine. Okay, let's see all this inside. Now, Gufa Ba Mine, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshe, Pesuah Daka Kosher, Nasa Basker, Mashi, Yachlan, B'Truma. Can she eat Truma? Ishtik V'lo Amalei V'lo Meidi. Answer, Rav Oshia says this, I don't know, he said nothing. L'sof HaSagav Rabba Achrin Abba Mine, Mil Sachrin Abbasha Lei Mani Reish Lagish, Amalei Rav Yudin Nisila Rav Oshia, Ato Rav Yochanan Lo Gav Rabba Hu. So Amalei Dikav Amin, I'm sorry, what did I just do? I just read all that already. Laman. Thank you. Okay. I thought, okay, and it doesn't matter. Laman. Ila Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, so let's take this now step by step. So first we're going to go over Shitas Rav Yehuda. Bein Bikdusha Seikai, Bein Lav Bikdusha Seikai, Lo Achla. So the Gemara says, look, whether or not you want to talk about the Psua Daka Kohen still having his Kedusha or not having his Kedusha, meaning we can entertain both sides of that coin. So if he is still in the status of Kohen, meaning despite the fact that he's a Psuadaka, but he still has Kedushas Kohen, So she will not be able to eat truma. Why? Damar mar, because Rabbi Yehuda Shita is basker zacher kabas chalal zacher. The daughter of a convert is like the daughter of a chalal, and that means then that she has full status of a Jew. And bas chalal has a status.
Full status.
It's the daughter of a chalala who has the status of a chalal. But bas chalal is perfectly fine, perfectly legitimate. So bas ger zacher kabas chalal zacher. So ilav, so that means now that she has full status. So, and that means what then? As Rashi explains, that now means that when this Kohen marries her, the Kedushin's perfectly good, everything's fine. There's just one small problem, and it's not a small problem. He's a psuadaka. So when they have bia, so he's going to turn her into a chalala. She can't eat truma. And he loved the kai lo achla. The hamrin and kal gerim ikre kahal. And if he does not have his kedusha, so then lo achla. So then she's not going to be. She won't eat because he's not prohibited to her. But still, he's not going to eat because kahal gerim is considered kahal, which means that the marriage would be a sanctioned marriage. And again, he's going to apostle her with that bia. Okay. So fine. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, so either way, it would, the bia that occurs between the two of them is going to effectively turn her into a chalala, and so therefore he will not be able to give her truma. And again, we could say it much stronger than that, meaning it's more than she can't eat truma. It's also that the marriage is not sanctioned, and they have to get a divorce, and et cetera, et cetera. But again, just speaking to the question of, can she eat truma? So if we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda, the answer is going to be no. And either Rabbi Yossi, and if we hold like Rabbi Yossi, Ben Bikdushaskai, Ben La Bikdushaskai, Achla. And according to Rabbi Yossi, the answer is going to be yes. She can eat truma. So because Bikdushaskai, Achla, Da Amar Av Gersh, and Asagiras, Bitter, Ksher Lakuna. Because again, according to Rabbi Yossi, the daughter of a convert, even if both parents are converts, she's allowed to marry a Kohen. And because she's allowed to marry a Kohen, she can eat truma. Now, the ilah b'dusha sekai achla. And if the Kohen, the Ptsuadaka Kohen, does not retain the status of Kedusha's Kohuna, so she's allowed to eat the Hamamar Kal Gerim Loiker Kahal. Because the Rav Yossi is of the opinion that Kahal Gerim does not have the status of Kahal. And so therefore, they're not violating an avera, and therefore she'd be allowed to eat truma. El Ali b'dai Tana did not. So the Gemara says it's following in the following opinion, and that is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Amar isha bas gerim lo stinas lekuna ashtei ima miyisrael. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, only if mother is Jewish, only then can the child marry a kohen. V'hachi kami ba'ilei. So now the question on the table is as follows. Okay, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, mom is a Jew, dad is a convert. The child is allowed to marry a Kohen, meaning the child does not have the Giyorah status. Okay, we know what the child is not. That doesn't tell us what the child is. Is the child not a Giyorah, but also not Kahal? Or is the child not a Giyorah, moved up all the way to the status of Kahal? That's our question on the table. And the way the Gemara formulates it is, Kashrus mitosvaba v'achla, Odima kedusha mitosvaba v'lo achla. Look, we know she does not have the status of a Giyoris. That part we got. And now here's the question on the table. Is she now elevated beyond the Giyoris status, but not yet at the status of Kahal? That would mean our Psuadaka Kohen is allowed to marry her. That would then mean she can eat truma. Or no. Is it that she is totally elevated in status? In other words, she's not a Giyoris. She goes up to the full status of being falling under the category of kahal. If that's so, that actually hurts her. It's ironic, but it actually hurts her because that means that a psua daka kohen is not allowed to marry her. Psua daka lo yavo bikal Hashem, and so therefore, when they get married and when he has beer with her, he's going to passel her from eating. She's going to make her a chalala. Okay, everyone's understanding the irony of the Gemara, right? The better she is, the more status she has, the worse it's going to be for her in her ability to eat truma. Okay. With correct under the discussion that we're having. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's see. The Gemara quotes a brisa. How do I know that a psua daka is allowed to eat? A psua daka kohen who marries the daughter of a ger is allowed to eat truma. Yochal, the Gemara darshins, and the key word over here is nefesh, meaning he marries a nefesh. And the nefesh over here is a reference to the bas gerim. Laman. So the Gemara says, look, according to Rabbi Yehuda, didn't we conclude earlier that she can't eat? Because of Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding his relationship with a his inability to marry the bas gerim. And according to Rav Yossi, we said that the marriage is perfectly sanctioned, and therefore she's allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the Bryce is speaking to whose position? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And it's coming to teach us, the drasha is coming to teach us, that when the bas ger loses her giyara status, meaning dad was a ger, but her status is not a ger, she's not a giyaris, but at the same time, she doesn't make it all the way up to kahal, she only makes it up to, some bein hashmashos limbo territory of not being a giyaris, not being kahal, which in this particular scenario is perfect, because now a psua daka kohen is allowed to marry her, and because a psua daka kohen is allowed to marry her, therefore enabling her to eat truma. Okay. And admittedly, that was a tough piece of Gemara because the Gemara really was juggling three different issues simultaneously in terms of whether or not our psua daka kohen is A, allowed to marry her, B, passels her with the bia, and then C, if so, is she allowed to eat truma? Okay, fine. Bottom line is we go like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning that a gyaris is not allowed to marry a kohen. And if mom is a Gioris, the daughter is also allowed to marry a Kohen as well. And I already see the question of... they're not... No, it's more than that. In other words, they're Gioris. The Gioris status.
So it doesn't go wherever
Yossi. Huh?
You don't go wherever
Yossi. We don't go... No, in this regard, we don't go like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is not just arguing against... If he's arguing with one. So here he's arguing with... two others. I understand the two others aren't in agreement. Okay.
Is part of the Kahal the daughter of Kamer?
Cannot.
Part of that?
Again, there are two issues, right? This is I know it's confusing. There are two issues. One issue is whether a Gioris can marry a Kohen. The answer is no. And the Bas Gioris also cannot marry a Kohen. We go like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And then the other issue is that if you have a Bas Ger, does she get elevated, if we don't fall like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, does she get elevated to the kahal status? If she does, so then a psua daka can't marry her. Not just, the kahal discussion has nothing to do with a kohen. The kahal discussion now has to do with the fact that he's a psua daka, and a psua daka is not allowed to marry somebody who's in within the kahal setting. Okay. The Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will not allow her to marry a Kohen to begin with if she is the daughter of a convert. Meaning mom is a convert.
So the question of the Daka Pesula is a convert.
Psua Daka, right. Psua Daka, right. Psua Daka is over here just dealing with it. The Psua Daka variable is just dealing with, is she go to Kahal or does she not get to Kahal status? And again, that her getting the kahal status in this particular case is going to hurt her, not help her. Okay, Shmamina, Itmar. Okay, next discussion in the Gemara. Okay, the previous discussion in the Gemara was complicated. Next discussion in the Gemara is just simply confusing. It's a tough stuff, admittedly. And that is, what if she undergoes chuppah without having done kiddushin? It's a head scratcher. It's not normally what happens. What normally happens in the context of a marriage is that first you go through kiddushin and then afterwards you go through chuppah. We made this observation before, but let's make it again. The Torah is abundantly clear in terms of how a man marries a woman, stage one, meaning through kiddushin. The first Mishnah in kiddushin is abundantly clear. Isha niknas begimel derachim, the three ways that a man marries a woman, kesar shtar ubiyah. Good. With precision, we know exactly how kiddushin is affected. And then there's a second stage of marriage. What is the second stage of marriage? We have a name for it. It's called nisuin. It's affected through chuppah. What does that mean exactly? It's not abundantly clear. It's not abundantly clear from the Torah. Quite honestly, it's not abundantly clear from the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara gives it a label, but the Gemara doesn't explain exactly how it's done. Under a canopy, in the Yichud room, the veil, right? It's right. We really struggle. When I say we, the Rishonim, really struggle to give a parameter of how exactly Nisun is affected. Okay, but it's just easier to talk conceptually than to talk in practical terms. There are two stages of marriage. There's Kiddushin, then there's Nisuin. What if our Kohen doesn't do Kiddushin with the Grusha, but he goes straight to Chuppah? Not any Kohen who's not allowed to marry that woman. What if he goes straight... Again, the definition of chuppah is we don't know. but it's unclear. It's unclear, but that doesn't matter. In other words, let's just speak conceptually. So what happened was is that our Kohen, who's not allowed to marry this woman, did chuppah with this woman, whatever chuppah may be. So Rav Amar, yesh chuppah lipsulos. So Rav says, it gives her a status. It disables her, right? In other words, just like in our Mishnah, we gave a description of how Kiddushin will disable her ability to eat Truma if she's a Bas Kohen. Rav says Chuppah will do the same thing as well. Okay. Now again, I understand, it's not normal. This is not how things are normally done. All we're discussing right now, it's a much more conceptual discussion than it is a practical discussion. Conceptually, what I want to know, can Chuppah give her a status? Does it label her the way that Kiddushin did? So Rav says, yeah, it does. So Yesh Chuppah L'Psulz V'Shmol Amrein Chuppah L'Psulz, and Shmol will disagree. Amr Shmol Modeli Abba. Now Shmol says, look, I know I argue with Abba. Abba is either the name of Rav or the term of endearment and reverence that Shmol calls Rav. Rashi over here sides with the latter shot, that it's just a term of endearment and reverence. Rav was older than Shmuel. So whenever Shmuel refers to Rav, he simply calls him my Rebbe, my father. It's a term of endearment. Shmuel Amar Ein Chuppah L'Psulz Amar Shmuel Modeli Abba B'Tinokus P'chus Me'Baz Gimel Shanim V'Yamechad Ahov Ein Labia Ein LaChuppah. I will say this. I know Rav argues with me. I know Rav says that Chuppah gives her the status and disqualifies her, disables her from eating Truma. But I do know that if she's below 3 years of age, so then Chuppah gives her no status. Okay, if you've seen enough Gemara, you'll know this is, to us in our day and age, this seems beyond bizarre. But, okay, it doesn't matter. Let's just get through the Gemara. A woman who reaches the age of 3 years, three years old. So, basically, the Gemara is going to make the same point six times over. The act of bia with her is legally a valid act of bia. So, mitkadeshes bebia, you can affect kiddushin with bia. V'imba la yavam kanav, the yavam has bia with her, it's kona. Chayav la mishum eishes ish. An act of relations with her constitutes adultery. Obviously, she is not put to death. She's underage. She's under bas mitzvah. But the man who's involved was involved in an act of bia. Umetamis bo'ol atamim mishkaf tachton ke'elyon. And if she's menstruating, and that's a huge if, but if she's menstruating, so then the man who has relations with her is subject to tumas nida. and Nasas the Kohen Achalas B'Chumah, she's allowed to eat Chumah, she's married to a Kohen. Bala Achad Mikol Apsulim Pasla, and an act of beer with her with a non-qualified person makes her disqualified. Again, six different ways to just simply say that beer with her constitutes beer. So Basha Shan Via Macharu de Mepasla Bebia. Mepasla Bechupa. Hapchusumi Basgil Gemoshan Via Machad. Lo Mepasla Bebia. Lo Mepasla Nami Bechupa. And the point is that under three, beer doesn't qualify, neither does Chupa. So Shmuel says, I know I argue with Rav, but at least I know Rav will agree with me on this point. Shmamina. The Gemara says, good. We can conclude. Okay, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Chanan.